to the fourth case of the morning, which is the United States against Antonio Shaw, number 014266. Mr. Barber.
Your Honors, my name is Mike Bonneman. I represent Antonio Shaw. Antonio Shaw pled guilty to two counts in the indictment that totaled 55 grams. Yet he gets found liable for 23 and a half kilograms. He contests this by arguing that the two witnesses against him, Mr. Williams and Ms. Collins, were less than truthful. Mr. Williams had first told the police that he only sold an eighth of a kilo to my client, Mr. Smith. And then after he gets arrested and he reads Ms. Collins' statement, that all changes. The more statements he gives, the more weight he gives my client. Ms. Collins is an ex-girlfriend of my client. She has two domestic batteries where she is the victim by my client. She wrote a letter while she was in jail saying they had tricked her. I think the logical conclusion, they may be some government agents who have told her to overestimate her involvement. Neither Mr. Williams nor Ms. Collins have records. Mr. Williams, I believe, testified that this all comes from his memory. As to Mr. Williams, what I think I tried to do in my brief, and the government says that somehow I've agreed to 14 7/8 kilos, and if I did that, I didn't mean to, but what I was trying to show was that if you take his statement and you take the Acosta standard, which is the lower amount and the lesser amount of time when he gives estimates, when he says 1 to 2 kilos, you take 1 kilo. When he says 3 to 4 times, you take 3, and I came up with that amount. My client.
What was that amount? Just under 15.
Just under 15, Your Honor. My client does not agree that he should be held liable for that. And in fact.
Sorry. If the evidence supports the finding that Mr. Shaw was involved with at least 2 kilograms of cocaine between July of 98 and the spring of 1999 rather than 1 kilogram, then wouldn't that 2 kilograms be enough? To put us over the 15-kilogram threshold?
Yes, Your Honor, that's correct. And yeah, it is close, but when I'm saying Mr. Williams is not telling the truth or is exaggerating, but I'm saying if you take the, everything he says is totally gospel, but you take the lower amount, you come up with that figure. And I think that's what we're supposed to do. Judge Scott placed a lot of emphasis on the fact that Ms. Collins agreed to 15 kilos when she was sentenced. But my argument is A, on the stand at the sentencing hearing, she didn't remember what she agreed to, and B, if she had contested it, she'd be in the same spot as my client. She might be losing her acceptance of responsibility. She might lose her downward departure. Her issue or her thing is, I'm going to plead guilty to whatever they want me to plead guilty, and I'm going to say whatever they want me to say, and I'm going to end up with a lesser sentence. And, of course, she does. She ends up with 45 months, and my client ends up with 300 months. As to the acceptance of responsibility issue, my client pled guilty in a timely manner to the indictment, which was 55, I believe, grams of cocaine. I believe the cases say he's not required to admit conduct beyond the offense of his conviction, and he may contest the drug calculation. And he did that. I mean, realistically, you got a guy who's pled guilty to 55 grams, and he gets his pre-sentence report, and they're saying he's liable for 26 kilos of cocaine. And initially, that doesn't seem fair, but at any rate, he does contest it, yet the fact that he contests it, the penalty is so severe. And it, A, just doesn't seem fair. But B, why shouldn't he get his acceptance of responsibility if he pleads guilty in a timely manner? And all he does is say, wait a minute, fellas. These guys are saying, I did all this. I didn't do all that. Yeah, I did what you said I did, and I pled guilty to it, and I own up to my responsibilities for that, but I didn't do all of this stuff. Boom, he loses his 3 points.
Well, because Judge Scott believed Mr. Williams that Shaw had asked him to minimize the amount of narcotics with which they'd been involved. And, I mean, how do we say to Judge Scott, you know,
I think she did and she didn't, in the sense that she didn't hit him with an obstruction of justice based on that statement, which she could very well have done. I think she made her ruling based on what she said these two people said the amount of drugs were involved. Of course, my client would deny saying that. The third point, I guess, is whether he directed Ms. Collins. I believe that the fact of the case was that she was the one, at least in the indictment, was the one who got the drugs and brought it back to my client, who was with the undercover source guy. She, I believe 10 or 15 times, came to Chicago, this city, on her own to get drugs. My position is that she is not directed by my client, but is a co-partner, of my client. That she did her stuff, he did his stuff, she did some of her own stuff. And to say that he necessarily directed her, I think is incorrect. And that's basically all I have, unless the justice has any comments.
Thank you, Mr. Bond.
Thank you.
We'll hear now from Mr. Bass.
May it please the Court, Your Honor, Timothy Bass on behalf of the United States. Your Honor, the lesson in this case, in short, is not that there's a draconian sentence to defendants who make some objection. Rather, the lesson is, when you're faced with reliable evidence of what you did, don't falsely deny it, don't frivolously contest it, and don't attempt to influence a witness to the contrary. That's the lesson of this case. That's what Judge Scott found. Now, the assertions that these witnesses said whatever the government wanted them to say, or that Ms. Collins wasn't directed by the defendant, are just absolutely false. They couldn't be any more false. Now, with respect to the conservative estimate of drug quantity under Acosta, Judge Scott did precisely that. If you look at Ms. Collins' testimony, she testified that prior to Mr. Williams' involvement with the defendant, back in the beginning of 1998, you'll recall from the transcript, Mr. Williams testified he got out of prison in July of 1998. She testified that she was driving to Chicago for the defendant for 1 year, transporting back 8 kilograms of cocaine, one to three times per month. And that on 10 or 15 occasions, she drove by herself. Now, during that same time period, once you get into the latter part of 1998, Mr. Williams testified that his partner, Mr. Brunt, was the source for the defendant and was supplying the defendant with 1 to 2 kilograms a month between July of 1998 and the spring of 1999. So you have a one-year period where two separate people testified about at a minimum of 8 kilogram amounts of cocaine on more than one occasion on a monthly basis. And Judge Scott found, based on all that testimony, over a one-year period, only 2 kilograms. And as Mr. Vonneman concedes in his brief, if he loses on the one versus two, he loses. Now, that was a very conservative estimate of drug quantity, and as Judge Scott found, Ms. Collins' testimony alone, even if you disregard Mr. Williams, which accounted for 2 kilograms, Ms. Collins was 4 kilograms. So there's no basis for an argument that there wasn't a conservative estimate of drug quantity. And again, when you go forward and look at Mr. Williams' testimony, he testified that between the fall of 1999 and the spring of 2000, he was providing the defendant with a quarter to a half kilogram amount of cocaine, I believe. Judge Scott ignored that and said, I believe in her ruling, which I've quoted in the brief, skipping all the way to 2000. And where she makes her primary finding of 14 kilograms, she goes on to say with respect to that, even if you cut that in half, you're still above 15 kilograms of cocaine. Judge Scott found a drug quantity that was 16 pounds more than the minimum necessary for an offense level of 34. And there's no basis in the record to find error, let alone clear error, in her finding. And again, her findings were based on testimony that she observed and found credible, which this court has said repeatedly, virtually can never be clear error. Now, with respect to the managing role enhancement, again, that was based on the testimony of Ms. Collins and Mr. Williams, who both testified that it was the defendant who directed Ms. Collins. Ms. Collins testified it was the defendant who orchestrated the drug transactions. It was he who directed her to travel to Chicago, and it was he who received a larger share of the profits, or all of the profits, and provided her with money. Now, that is way more sufficient, way more than enough for a role enhancement. And finally, Your Honors, with respect to the acceptance of responsibility, I'm not suggesting to the court today or in my brief that simply objecting to sentencing enhancements or sentencing calculations can always lead to not getting an acceptance of responsibility reduction. But what we have here is something quite different. Mr. Shaw, in his commentary filed by Mr. Vonneman, which Judge Scott directed at him directly and asked him if he agreed with, said, not only did he object to the calculations, but he made the affirmative statements, I don't agree with Ms. Collins and Mr. Williams. I didn't direct Ms. Collins, and I didn't, and I should only be accountable for 170 grams of cocaine. In light of all this other evidence, in light of the fact that my co-defendant has already been sentenced for this drug quantity, I'm making these affirmative statements to the court, which the evidence showed he knew to be false. And then you lump in the fact that Judge Scott found credible Mr. Williams' testimony that the defendant attempted to influence him. You're in a position which is a far cry from someone who's shown a genuine remorse for his conduct. So for all those reasons, Your Honors, we would ask you to find that there was no clear error in any of Judge Scott's findings, and that the judgment, the sentence of Mr. Shaw should be affirmed. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bass. Does Mr. Vonneman have any extra time left? 3 minutes. Thank you, Mr. Vonneman. Mr. Vonneman, you served by the court's appointment in this case, and you have the sincere thanks of the court for your fine efforts on behalf of your client. Both gentlemen, we thank you for your briefs, and the case is taken under advisement. The fifth